All right, so favorite types of parties. I asked my kid, Jeremiah. He was big on the costume-themed party. He's like, Halloween, trunk or treat, I got to dress up. For me, I am very similar to Ashley, just the casual show up and hang out, come watch a football game or whatever. It's either that one or it's staying home. I'm a homebody also. Why do I ask about parties? Is there a party today? No, there's not. Not at all. But parties usually come with invitations. You have to get know that it's coming somehow. So you get an invitation, and the invitation might give you details about the party, what to wear, how to dress, how to get in, what's going on. Wedding invitations are usually very detailed with that type of stuff. So today we're going to look at the gospel like it's an invitation. So it's not so much the party, but it's the invitation piece. And what I want us to see today is that the gospel invites us as we are. It welcomes us into a family and leads us to a transformed life. So that's going to be the gospel today, and we're going to see how that all works itself out. So we're in, still in our series on Acts. We're going to be in Acts 10 today. Your Bibles are open to it. We only have this week and next week left in Acts. We're going to skip over Acts 11, not because it's not important. That's next week, but it kind of just kind of follows up on what we're going to talk about today and then end with Acts 12 next week. All right. But up till now, what we've seen is we've kind of seen this new, what we know as the Christian movement happening. However, it's still a predominantly Jewish movement. People are kind of becoming Jewish to join it. This would be called maybe called proselytes, where they would kind of adopt, in essence, a new religion. The men would be circumcised. They would obey food laws and things like that. So they're almost at least partially immersed in Judaism. Well, that's going to change today, because the thought before was that Jews were set apart. They were God's chosen group. But when Jesus came, died, and rose, that all changed. But that hasn't been fully realized. Today, we see the story of Cornelius and Peter, and that's going to kind of bring these two sides together and see how it plays out more as to what we know Christianity as now. So we're going to look at the whole story in a few pieces, and then we're going to see what it really can mean for us at the end. So we're going to start by learning about this guy named Cornelius. This is going to be Acts 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. It'll be up there, also right there in your Bible. So here we go, Acts 10, 1 through 8. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened, and he sent them to Joppa. So who is this guy Cornelius? This is the first we are learning about him. He's a Roman man. He's living in Caesarea, a Roman or a Gentile city. And he was also a privileged member of Roman society. Being a centurion was a cool deal. Caesarea, I believe, was some of like the Roman military headquarters. So he was not a Jewish guy. Internally, however, kind of his life, he was a devout, God-fearing man. He kind of gravitated toward Jewish spirituality. Some thoughts are that, there was maybe some other types of philosophies going on, and he didn't really buy into those. But he actually agreed with a lot of things that Jews were doing. He helped the poor. He gave alms. He believed in God. He respected times of prayer, and he prayed. However, he didn't make that final step of actually becoming Jewish and adopting the customs and the food laws and all this other stuff that would have made him Jewish. Now, because of this, Jews would have seen him as technically unclean, meaning they wouldn't have associated with him. He was, from what we know, he was well-respected by the Jews because he seemed like a decent dude, but they wouldn't have hung out with him because he still would have been deemed unclean. So what happens? Cornelius gets a visit from an angel in a vision. And basically, the angel says to him, God sees you. He receives what you're giving and how you're living. In essence, he likes this. This is pleasing to God. And he says, I want you to go send for this guy named Simon called Peter. And he's hanging out in Joppa. Cornelius doesn't question this at all. I probably would have been like, why am I sending for this guy? As far as we know, he's never met Peter. He may be aware of who he is. The Christian movement is growing, so he might have heard of him. But he's like, why am I sending for this guy? He doesn't question it. He just says, all right, I'll send for him. So he sends some people. So Cornelius is this guy that he seems to want to know God. He gives to the poor, gives to the needy, but he doesn't want to become fully Jewish. Excuse me. All right, so that's our guy Cornelius. He's kind of character one. Now we're going to jump to Peter. We've met Peter before. We're familiar with him. He's kind of been a big figure in the new Christian church. What's important is this vision that Peter's going to get. So in Acts 10, 9 through 23, we are going to read this vision. So let's see that. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey, this is Cornelius's men are on their journey, and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God's made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, do not hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come into his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. All right, Peter. What happens with Peter here? He's spending some time praying and receives a vision. During times of prayer was a common time for people that talk about receiving a vision because they were connecting with God. There's a picture down here. This is kind of one of like the kids' illustrations of what this vision might have looked like. But in essence, he's hungry because it's near lunchtime, so it may have played a role in the fact that this is the type of vision he got. But a sheet comes down with different animals on it that could be eaten. And he is told, kill and eat. And in essence, Peter says, heck no. This goes against our cleanliness and our food laws from Leviticus 11. I can't eat those. So he pushes back. Same thing Ananias did last week when he was initially supposed to help Saul. He's like, no way, this isn't what I should do. So his vision recurs three times to drive the point home to Peter. So he's trying to figure out what this means. He's like, what's going on here with this vision? When Cornelius' messengers show up, and the angel says to him, hey, go with these men because I have sent them. He says, I have sent them. So he's going to find out there's these guys from Cornelius that are coming. The angel from God says, go with them because I have sent them. All right. So Peter, pretty big deal with the new Christian movement. He's Jewish, gives to the poor, prays, wants to continue and know and hear from God. So we have Peter and Cornelius, two guys that actually have a lot of similarities, some same beliefs, some same actions, but they're not totally together in the same place yet, all right? They can't really bring it together. So let's illustrate what this might look like. I'm going to use Sam and I as an example of Cornelius and Peter representing. Sam's going to play the role of Cornelius. I will be Peter. So we're going to say today that becoming fully Christian, getting together as being Christian, is going to a concert, all right? Just for example's sake, Sam and I agreed, it'll be a Taylor Swift concert. Okay, that's where we're going with. Because that's a concert Sam and I would go to together. Probably. I think we would. Yeah, we would. All right, so here's the catch, though. The catch with this concert is to get in, you have to be a verified Swiftie, which is an official fan of Taylor Swift. You have to have your official verified Swiftie ID card. Like this. All right? You have to wear the gear, have the merch, be verified. Here's the thing. I'm playing Peter. I have my card. I'm a chapter president. I'm a big deal with being a Swiftie. My wife can't believe I made this. I made this morning. Okay? I'm a big deal. And no, that you cannot pick just one favorite Taylor Swift song. It's not possible. All right? So I got everything. But I also love the music. I follow her on social media. I connect with the tunes. Now we got Sam. Here's Sam. Sam loves the music. Sam follows her on social media, connects with the tunes. Sam doesn't want to become a verified Swiftie. He doesn't think he needs to. He doesn't need to pay. Oh, boy. He doesn't think he needs all the merch, the card, all of this, right? So Sam and I then are both, we're both in these different places. We're similar, but we're not quite together yet. So we're both separately doing our thing, scrolling TikTok, when all of a sudden, Sam sees a TikTok from Taylor Swift. It says, Sam, it's me. Hi, I want you to reach out to this guy, Jeff, who's a chapter president, and you're going to talk to him. He's like, okay, I'll send him a message. I'm doing the same thing. I'm scrolling TikTok. Then it's Taylor, Jeff, it's me. Hi, I'm sending you a message from this guy, Sam. You're going to get together with him, and you're going to bring him to the concert. No, I'm not. He's not a Swiftie. This doesn't work like that. He doesn't have his card. But she repeats it. And I'm like, this is weird. So Sam and I then need to get together and have a meeting. That's what Cornelius and Peter need to do. And that's what they're going to do now and how we sort this whole thing out. All right, we're done with the Taylor Swift thing now. All right, so we're going to move on to Acts 10, 23 through 33. And now we're going to kind of get our meeting going on. Sure. I listened to the new album. I didn't like it. But the Red album was way better. Anyway, Acts 10, 23 through 33. I'm just going to summarize a little bit of this. Peter goes with the messengers. He goes to Caesarea. He gets there, and he goes into the house. Don't miss this detail. Going into the house was a big deal because this was a violation of the Jewish law. Because what happened at this time is basically house rules were in play. So if you go into a Gentile home, the Gentile food laws, the Gentile customs are respected. So his messengers coming into where Peter was staying, fine, because that's a Jewish home. Peter actually going in to the Gentile home is a big deal and means he's starting to figure out what this vision meant. Because God's saying, hey, don't call any of this food unclean that I made clean. This applies to people. Don't say Cornelius is unclean when I made him clean. So he's starting to figure it out. So he goes, and he's figuring this out, and Cornelius says to him, hey, I had this vision. Cornelius explains his vision to Peter, and then he says, we're here waiting to hear what God has told you to say to us. So then Peter never hesitates to give a speech or a sermon. All right, Peter likes to talk. So in 34 through 43, again, we're not going to read all of it, he gives a speech. Now, most of this is very similar to other speeches or sermons we've heard in Acts, kind of recounting what happened with Jesus. He came, he was put on trial wrongly, he was crucified, he rose. However, the first few verses are important. Acts 10, 34 through 36, Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of the peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He is saying God doesn't play favorites, and he's starting to get that. Anyone who wants God can have God. You don't have to become fully Jewish or adopt the Jewish customs. Jesus is Lord of all. Here is the invitation we're talking about. Jesus invites as we are. All right, so this is what he's finally getting and telling Cornelius. You can come as you are, every nation. Just fear God, want to know God. This would be saying Sam can now come to the concert without being a verified Swiftie. He can just come be in that place. All right, so Peter is giving the speech. Then all of a sudden, he gets interrupted. Well, by what? Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Peter gets interrupted by the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit comes on Cornelius and all the other Gentiles that were with them. Some refer to this as Gentile Pentecost. If we remember back to Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came on the Jews. They spoke in languages so everybody could hear. This hadn't happened to the Gentiles yet. Now it is. They are now welcomed fully into this family. They're getting all the same things that the Jews do. These people with Peter are astonished. They're like, whoa, the club isn't exclusive anymore. They don't have to adopt all our other stuff. All right? You just get to go. You just get to be a part of God. That invitation was them for as they are. They're now welcomed into this family. So Peter says, let's have them baptized. They've received the Holy Spirit just like us. So why do it? Because baptism is an outward profession of faith that we're being made new in Jesus. He leads them into a transformed life. He's saying, let's baptize them and have them make that declaration. Because God's not going to just leave them as they are. He's going to keep working with them. And this is going to shake things up quite a bit. Because this whole Gentile mission now being included is a huge part of what Paul's ministry is going to be in the second half of Acts that we're not covering, but this changes things. All right. The gospel now invites people as they are. They're welcomed in the family and leads them into their transformed life. So that's what it did there. What does this do for us? First off, same thing. It invites us as we are. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who seek him. God wants us to come to him. If we want to go to God, we can. Now, if you're sitting here thinking, I have issues, I've never read the Bible, I've never been to church, maybe I went to church twice as a kid, just on Christmas and Easter, you are still invited. Come as you are. It is that party invitation with no requirements. You don't have to bring any food or dress a certain way. God just says, come. So if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, cool, I've already accepted that invitation, I've been a Christian my whole life, I believe this is a continual thing we need to remind ourselves of. We are never at a place where we can't come to God. We don't have to fix things before we come to him. Don't have to have all our ducks in a row. He just says, come. So we're invited as we are. And then we're welcomed into the family. We belong no matter what. You belong no matter what. Wherever you're from, what your background is, we all come from different places. We all have different things that we've come from, but we are welcomed into the family. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Jesus Christ. You can say, okay, I'm invited. I get that. I'm invited as I am, but do I really belong there? Am I going to fit in? Yeah, you will, even if you think you don't. It's all the backgrounds fit together into one family. We're a week and a half from Thanksgiving. It's bringing all the different traditions together for one awesome day of food. It brings it all together, and it's all welcomed in. You also have connection, being welcomed into the family. No more isolation. There is a family that exists. I know my default going through difficult times is to isolate and be by myself. I got to think, man, I don't even want to be around me. Nobody else wants to. But guess what? We're welcomed when we feel that way. We're welcome with God, and we're welcome with other Christians. We're invited as we are, and we are welcomed into that family. You can think, okay, maybe I can wrap my head around that. I'm invited as I am. I'm welcomed into this family. But if I got a bunch of stuff in my life, I don't, maybe just don't want to stay that way. Well, that's good, because God leads us to a transformed life. Julie talked about this last week with the conversion of Saul. She talked about how conversion is a transformation from one thing to something totally different. God doesn't leave us as we are. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We are made new by God. He guides us into a transformed life. This is not always easy. Transformation isn't always easy. Change isn't always easy. There's going to be setbacks, but God helps us change. God helps us transform into what he wants us to be. We are not stuck. We're made new. There's transformation, and God helps us do that through the gospel. So I want you to remember this week that the gospel is still for you and all of those around you. Remember that the invitation is to come as you are, whether you've accepted it before or you never have before. And if you never have and you want to talk more about it, please grab me sometime to talk about that. But just come to God as you are. Bring the beauty that you have, bring the mess, bring your strengths, bring your weaknesses, but just bring yourself and just come. And then remember, you're welcomed into the family. You belong. One of our taglines here at Hometown is, when you're here, you're home, because you're into that family. I don't care what you walk in with, you're welcomed here with us. And you're welcome with God. You receive what everyone receives: the Spirit, the grace, the peace, the discipline, the love. You're welcome and you belong. And then remember that God will transform you. He won't leave you as you are. It's hard, and that's exciting, and that's a process. But when we allow God to work in us and through us to become who he wants us to be, it's an incredible time with him and learning through him and seeing ourselves change in the way God wants us to. So remember, God invites you. He welcomes you. He'll help you transform. And that's what the gospel does for us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning and for this passage, God, for the visions that both Peter and Cornelius had and what they mean for us, God, that we're invited just as we are. We don't have to make all these changes right away, God, that you just want us to come and that you welcome us, but then you'll help us transform and help us change, God. I pray that's something that whether we're new to getting to know you, God, we've known you for a little while, we've known you our whole lives, that that's something we would always remember, that that's what the gospel is, how it invites us, welcomes us, and transforms us. So God, I pray that you would put that on our hearts this week, every day, and help us all to remember that. In your name.